scheduled this weekend alone here. Democrats say it could be a sign he's nervous about the state.
ABC's Mary Ellis Parks in Gastonia, North Carolina, with the Trump campaign. Vice President Kamala Harris also visiting North Carolina later today after she rallies in Atlanta, Georgia. Execution in South Carolina. Richard Moore put to death Friday night by lethal injection for the 1999 shooting of a convenience store clerk. A federal jury convicting former Louisville detective Brett Hankison of using excessive force in the botched 2020 raid that killed Breonna Taylor in her home. He faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. The union representing striking Boeing factory workers in the Pacific Northwest says members will vote on the latest contract offer on Monday. It includes wage increases of 38% over 4 years. This is ABC News. In a New York City courtroom, opening statements getting underway Friday in the subway chokehold death of Jordan Neely. Daniel Penny pleading not guilty to charges of manslaughter and negligent homicide for the May 2023 death of Neely. Video shows Penny restraining Jordan Neely, who prosecutors concede was yelling, making threats, but they say Penny's hold lasted way too long, almost a minute after Neely went limp. Well, it's that time of year again.
At 2 a.m. on Sunday morning, daylight saving time ends and standard time is back. With winter approaching, our days become shorter. And for a lot of people, that lost hour of daylight can bring on something called SAD, seasonal affective disorder. It's described as a feeling of panic, fear, and anxiety all rolled into one, and it affects millions. Light therapy can help. So can yoga, walking, and antidepressants. If you're feeling it, especially after changing your clock, call your doctor. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Come to the Lazy Elf Lounge to cheer on the green and gold. Enjoy free Jello shots with every Green Bay touchdown. Stock up on $20 buckets of White Claw and High Noon, $15 assorted buckets of Busch Light, Miller, and Bud products, plus $4 off wing baskets when you dine in. Come for all the fun on game days at the Lazy Elf Lounge, North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook and find the full menu at LazyElfLounge.com.
Hear full election coverage of this campaign Tuesday night on 92.7 WMDX. Join us as we cover everything from the pre-poll closing to post-poll closing, analysis, and results all night long until the final results are in. Coverage is being brought to you by Chad's Design Build, sustainable renovations and construction since 1992, online at chadsdesignbuild.com. Be here Tuesday night starting at 6.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sees an oil and gas development in and around parks. In Wisconsin's delegation, all six Republican House members got failing grades on the scorecard, and the two Democrats got A's. Kristen Brengel with the National Parks Action Fund says they're not trying to pick on members of Congress, but hope the scrutiny will help to change some votes moving forward.
This is just part of our value system. Do we love these places? Do we want to take care of them? Do we want to make sure they have adequate park rangers in them? And this vote is just a direct way to tell whether or not your member of Congress cares about the future of our national parks.
Overall, Brengel says more House members received Fs than As, in part because last year the House voted to cut funding for national parks by 13%. The scorecard is online at nationalparksaction.org. John Anfinson, a retired superintendent for the National Park Service, says keeping the park system in good shape should be a bipartisan priority.
For every dollar America puts into national parks, they get about $15 back. It's a money generator for America. So I think it's a positive thing to fund national parks. It brings money back instead of taking money away.
Even without a national park, the National Scenic Trails and other lands managed by the Park Service here in Wisconsin contributed more than $64 million in visitor spending last year to the state's economy and support over 900 jobs. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, rain after midnight, low of 42. Rain is likely for Sunday, with highs in the low 60s. Sunday night, showers and storms, temperatures around 60 degrees. For Monday, more rain and a high near 69.
It's 30 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is November 1st, a Friday TGIF edition. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are live here at Neuroscience Group Field at Fox Cities Stadium, home of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, a great venue. Again, thanks to Rob, the president and CEO and managing partner of the Timber Rattlers, for allowing us to be here. And just a beautiful, beautiful day here in Little Grand Chute, just outside of Appleton. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor in the Lincoln Project, joins me once again at the table. And wow, what a great
day. Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in to the best of the Todd Albaugh Show for the week preceding the election. This week, Todd traveled around the state with Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. It has been a packed week, full of people who really exemplify what makes Wisconsin great. First, we're going to take a listen to part of Friday's show when former Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind joined in to talk about the importance of this election and what it really means to Wisconsinites. And remember, you can listen to the rest of the week's shows on civicmedia.us or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look up The Todd Albaugh Show. And with that, listen to this great conversation with Ron Kind.
Exactly. A guy who also knows a lot about football. We're honored to have him join us via phone, and we appreciate him making the effort to be here today. He is the former longtime congressman from Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Congressman Ron Kind joins us via phone. Congressman, thanks so much for taking the time, and welcome to the program.
Hey, guys, I'm very happy to be with you. It is a beautiful day to be here in Wisconsin, to be alive. Looking forward to the chat.
Right? No, absolutely. Talk to us a little bit, Congressman, if you will, about the 3rd District in particular. Trigvi and I, of course, both grew up in that area and know it well.
And Ron knows more about winning it than I do, given that I ran the guy who lost him the first time he won. So there's that.
Well, and I helped run Dale Schultz's race against him, too. So he's 2-0.
He knows more than we do.
Well, yeah, so clearly he knows more about it than we do.
The good old days, guys. The good old days.
Right. But here we are, you know, in this great alliance together. Trigvi and I both now independents, but help on the Democratic side. And Congressman, help us understand this race in the 3rd District, where you have Derek Van Orten, who won this very, very narrow race after you stepped down after a long and a great career in the 3rd, against Democratic candidate Rebecca Cook.
Yeah, well, first of all, the 3rd is a great district. I think one of the most beautiful congressional districts in the entire nation. It's all of Western Wisconsin, by and large. Goes into North Central Wisconsin, the Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids area, and then up and down the Mississippi. It has more miles on the Mississippi than any other congressional district, the Driftless area. But it's a very diversified economic area, from agriculture to manufacturing to some of the best healthcare providers in the world that are located here, institutions of higher learning, got 5 of the state universities that are located here, 4 of the technical schools and their campuses that are spread out, and a lot of small businesses up and down. But it is a 50-50 district. It's one of those rare swing congressional districts that still exist in our country. Unfortunately, due to gerrymandering, there are just way too many overwhelmingly Democratic or Republican districts today. I think it's one of the reasons we've had increased polarization in our political system. you know, candidates running in those type of safe districts have no incentive to find common ground or to work in any bipartisan fashion. Where the third, I think that's the type of representative that people expect you to be, is someone who's mature enough, grown up enough that you can work across the aisle, find some friends that aren't a part of your political party, and find common ground to get things done. And I think that's where Derek Van Orden has gone astray. He's just been very, very partisan and very polarizing. And I think people here are beginning to realize and catching up with his antics and what he's been doing the last couple of years.
I mean, just right there, Congressman, it's like a, I'm not joking around, it's like a breath of fresh air in that 1 minute you just did, talking about Wisconsin River, the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, which celebrates 35 years this year, conservation, traditions of hunting, our state universities, higher education, public education. Trigby and I, well, I think we're fourth and fifth one of these. We call them What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. And we spent a lot of time in our home areas, down from Richland Center to River Falls to La Crosse and the Chippewa Valley, everywhere in between. We did this show from Wisconsin Rapids yesterday. Everything you just said, Congressman Kind, are the things that connect with people. And yet for the last 2 years, we've heard little of that. And I just think that folks there are yearning to get back to those things, because you know what? It's not just you saying that as a Democrat. Your predecessor, a guy I helped out a lot over the years, former Congressman Steve Gunderson, Republican, talked about the same things and was equally as successful at the ballot box.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's not forget the breweries and the microbreweries, too. I mean, we're pretty proud of that.
Let's not forget those.
And the wineries now that have popped up all over the place, which is really cool to visit. And guys, you know, this morning I was up before the crack of dawn. I was in a bow stand because it's peak rut time here in Wisconsin. And just a chance to be out in the woods and watch the sun rise and the woods come to life. And then you hear that pitter-patter of deer feet coming up behind you, and your heart starts racing. The adrenaline's flowing. It could be that big 10-pointer you've been waiting for. I mean, that's what makes Wisconsin so special. And you need representatives that appreciate that, but won't forget who sent them to Congress and the reason why. And unfortunately, you know, Derek Van Orden from the very beginning just went astray from his participation as one of the insurrectionists on January 6th. I was on the House floor that day. I was getting ready to defend Wisconsin's electoral votes when that insurrectionist mob descended upon us. And it was a scary time. We did not know what their true intent was. And he was on the wall with an earpiece in, directing other insurrectionists where they needed to go that day. But then he did barely win that next election. 2 years later. And since then, berating Senate pages in the rotunda of the Capitol. These are 16, 17-year-old high school kids that are just helping out with this internship working with the Senate, and he verbally attacks them. And then some of the drinking parties that he's had in his congressional office late at night, which is unheard of on Capitol. At least I never saw it during my 26 years in office. But then on the other side, you have someone like Becca Cook, who grew up on a family farm right here in western Wisconsin, been involved in the foundation to help start up small businesses, get going, a nonprofit, someone who's deeply rooted and connected to the district, unlike Derek Van Orden, who had recently moved to the district when he decided to run for Congress for the first time, and then started moving around the district from town to town, which is a little strange. So I think he came from this perspective that it was all political to him rather than connecting with the people and understanding what makes the third CD tick and what makes it so special. And I've seen time and time again, guys, when I was in office, when we got hit with a natural disaster, it was a bad storm, you know, straight line wind damage or flooding along the Mississippi and the various valleys that lead to sudden flooding, and communities just coming together, regardless of who you are or what party affiliation you might have. They just step up and help their neighbors because it's the right thing to do.
Well, Trigby talks about this all the time. You know, there are politicians that want to be and politicians that want to do. You're somebody who actually did stuff. I mean, when I was working for Dale and the state Senate office, we'd call your congressional office, whether it was Floods and Soldiers Grove or wherever, and your staff was always fantastic. Mm-hmm. You were always great. Didn't matter. We came from two different sides of the aisle at the time. You got things done, and I think that's what we want more of.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you mentioned a couple of the great ones, you know, Steve Gunderson, you know, Dale Schultz. And, I admired the type of public service ethic that they brought to their job. And I think people appreciate it. And that's why they got reelected time and time again, regardless of who their party affiliation might be. And I think people who work in that type of fashion get rewarded politically here in the third and, quite frankly, around the state.
Yeah, I just think, you know, you think back to that race long time ago in 96 where you and Jim Harsdorf were running against each other. It was two guys who wanted to do things, and you might have had different thoughts on what was best to do, but and that was true when you ran against Dale Schultz. Derek Van Orten strikes me, and I was watching the ads, you know, when I got back here, when we were over in the third, right? You watch the ads, the difference between Cook ads, which are about the things she wants to do to help people, versus Derek Van Orten, who seems to be a guy who simply wants to be on Fox News, who wants to, you know, the reality is it's people like that who simply want to be that they're not trying to solve any solutions. And the third district has a history with you, with Steve Gunderson, you know, going back Vernon Thompson and Al Baldus, for God's sakes, they were guys who wanted to do things. They might want to do different things, but we've gotten away from that, and it's a real problem. And I hope the third decides to send somebody back, even somebody that, quite frankly, on a lot of issues, I would disagree with.
Yeah, you know, as closely divided our government is, our politics is, it's all the more reason why you need to work hard to find bipartisan solutions. Those will be longstanding solutions then. And quite frankly, I've known, representing this area for 26 years, that all the good ideas just don't come from the Democratic side. A lot of them also come from the Republican side. It's one of the reasons I had listening sessions all the time, to get direct feedback from people. Unfortunately, Derek Van Orten has not continued that tradition. Steve Gunderson did that before me, even having listening sessions, being very accessible to people. I've noticed that Derek Van Orten, if he has some type of event in the district, it's by invitation only. It's closely guarded who's getting entrance into it. And that's no way to represent, you know, the 800,000 folks that you're responsible for. And I wish more politicians would get back to that idea of public service, opening yourself up to criticism, not being afraid to run towards the criticism and figure out what you're doing wrong. And he's just opposed to all of that.
Ron Kind, we're a minute and a half left in this segment here. We appreciate your time. What have I not asked you or you want to share with people across Wisconsin about this election in 4 days?
Well, first of all, we have a very safe, fair, secure, accurate election system here in Wisconsin. And that's a tribute to the election officials that we have throughout the state, those working the individual polls. They take their job seriously. We've had no evidence, no facts, nothing that could indicate any type of voter fraud. So people should be assured that when they go and vote, whether it's early or on the same day, that vote's going to count, it's going to be counted accurately, and that there may be some minor mistakes, but it won't have an influence on any elections here in the state. And people should feel proud of the fact that we have a state that runs elections as well and as securely and fairly as we do here. So everyone needs to get out and vote and have their voices heard, regardless of who you're supporting. But I hope that as a country, we figure out a way to become Americans again, rather than just Republicans or Democrats, and view the other side as mortal enemies that you don't just disagree with, but you need to destroy. And I'm afraid we're moving more and more towards that self-destruction as a country because of how polarized and how good politicians are at pushing people's buttons, of figuring out who they need to blame in our plight in life, and who they need to be afraid of, rather than coming up with some good solutions to help people, regardless of their
former Congressman
flavor.
Ron Kind, thank you so much for being gracious with your time. Thank you. We need more people like you. Thank you, Ron. Have a great day.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
a new choice.
Madison's real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Next, we're going to revisit Monday's conversation with Trygve Olsen, Reed Galen, and John Roach. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, indeed, there will be hoodies and sweatshirts because sure. We're playing on Wisconsin.
Gotta have that Badger swag.
That's right. That's right. You're talking with Reed Galen, the president of the union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, and our friend and ongoing contributor, the great John Roach, a screenwriter, an author, a Renaissance man, a columnist, and a filmmaker extraordinaire, and also an
a lot of puffery.
Well,
Wisconsin legend,
right? It is,
right.
And not making that up. Not hyperbole, folks. Not making it up.
Nice. I don't think he says hyperbole though.
John Roach is a grad of UW Madison. Thus, why I have my Badger hoodie on today for you, John. I never had the brains to get into Madison. I went to Platteville, but my two godsons, God love them, Alex and Jason, are grads of UW. I was at the game on Saturday. It was just sad. It was just another, what the hell's happening, John?
So here's what I worry about. Wisconsin is a small rural state. We have 5 million people. We have a third of what they have in Pennsylvania, Ohio, like one-tenth of what they have in California. We have 4 or 5 billionaires. Mm. California has 180 billionaires. And now you have to buy your players, right? There's no cap. There's, no contracts to speak of. And I worry that we don't have the financial mass to be competitive. I have argued that the single biggest industry in the state is the dairy industry. It's a $40 billion industry. And I've argued that the dairy farmers adopt the university athletic program, and every football player is a brand of cheese. The smellier cheeses are the down linemen. The Breeze and the light mozzarellas are in the backfield. They're the skilled players. And they would wear the name of the cheese they're representing on the back of their jersey. It's the only way it would be worth the farmers' money. But how are we going to compete in this new economy? I just don't think it bodes well for Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska. It just doesn't. We don't have a lot of high school players in state as compared to these other schools as well, where you can draw on some 2 or 3 stars that you don't have to pay a lot of money to.
I don't want to go down there. I wish we could. We had time. We go down that road.
I'm sorry, asked.
No. I know.
I will talk college football for the next.
I know you. We all could.
Here's the thing. I'll pivot it back to politics.
All right, 30 seconds.
The other problem with your theory is, right, like 3 of our 5 billionaires are so busy lighting their money on fire, giving it to MAGA causes.
I agree.
In the case of Diane, right. John, and Ulines.
Yeah. And Judith doesn't care about sports, and Menard gives all his money to motorsports.
Yeah.
So we're kind of screwed.
We're out of luck.
I want to spend time, John.
Or Todd needs to come up with a really good business idea.
I've tried.
Pressure's on. Clock's ticking.
Right. Here's what's ticking is the release date for this great new film. I want to spend some time on it because, John, I'm a big UW football and basketball fan. We both come to know Bo Ryan very well, and Greg Gard, you better than I, although Greg and I went to school the same time in Platteville. Talk to us about this great new film coming out soon, A Road at Night, a documentary about Howard Moore.
Well, the shorthand that I've come up with is when the worst of times bring out the best in people. Howard and his wife, Jennifer, are on their way over to Detroit to visit her mother. Jen was a University of Wisconsin woman of color engineering student in the early 90s, graduated. Howard played with Mike Finley, Tracy Webster, the first team to make it into the NCAA playoffs in 47 years. Rashard Griffith was also part of that bunch. And then Howard returned as an assistant coach for Bo and then later guard. And they were hit head on by a drunk wrong way driver on the interstate outside of Ann Arbor. Jen was killed. Jaden was killed. Howard was seriously injured. Jarrell got off pretty well. And in fact, he pulled Howard out of the car. And then COVID descended upon the land, and my two friends, George Hamill and Tim Valentine,
as the, you know, as COVID was lifting, they were finally at a ball game together, and George asked the question that so many Wisconsin people were asking, and that is, how's Howard? Tim, who was an attorney in town, had been helping the Moore family with all the awful things that happened with that kind of accident, and he described some of the issues, and George Hamill said simply, he's one of the more generous philanthropists associated with the university, said, well, we have to do something for Howard. That's how it started. They approached me, and I said, this isn't, you know, a four-minute video fundraiser thing. I think it's a doc because of the way people have responded. And obviously, documentaries are having their day on streaming. They're immensely popular genre, and sports docs and true crime docs are amongst the most popular of that genre, and this has a little bit of both. So we interviewed over 30 people in over 8 cities about Howard and Jen and their relationship and how they fell in love, because in order to appreciate what was lost, you had to get to know them and understand who they were. And they, Howard and Jen, are beloved by the people that they work with. Mm-hmm. Howard was a uniter, a connector, not just on the team, but on campus. You know, my tongue-in-cheek, dark Irish working title was Grown Men Weeping. Because every one of his teammates had a hard time holding it together, being interviewed. And not just teammates, coaches and others. And God bless George Hamill, who financed it, and Tim Valentine. The three of us were kind of the three amigos on this thing. We premiered last Friday night at the Union South Theater, 350 people. And I know Jim Polzin and Wayne Larrivee and Matt LePay, they all gave it glowing reviews. I'm too close to it to give you one. But it's our goal to get a streaming deal, which would immediately, the vast majority of any revenues generated by the doc will go to the Moore Family Trust to make sure that Howard and Jarrell never want for the resources for Howard's care and Jarrell's future. Wow. That's the headline. And it actually dovetails with our conversation about college football and everything. The Wisconsin's never been a five-star player, but it has been a five-star culture. Right. We've sent more walk-ons to the NFL than any program in the country. I worry about that culture being preserved in the new environment of college, but you see this culture on full display with the way his teammates, the basketball program, the athletic program in the Wisconsin community has rallied around this family. We were shooting the Moore family doing the interviews, and while we're doing the interviews at the Moore home, a huge truck pulls in and unloads a big container. Michael Finley had a hyperbaric chamber delivered to Howard's home so we could get his treatments just outside the door in the garage rather than getting in an ambulance and going down onto campus. And he's showing some improvement.
Can you come back a couple minutes after the break?
Of course, sure.
Next up, we scoop back forward to Friday. We're going to listen to Todd and Trigby's interview with the Ragin' Cajun himself, James Carville. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I just said that.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Election day, less than 3 days away.
Former President Trump heads here to North Carolina today. It's the one battleground state that he won 4 years ago, but he's taking nothing for granted. He has 3 events scheduled this weekend alone here. Democrats say it could be a sign he's nervous about the state.
ABC's Mary Ellis Parks in Gastonia, North Carolina, with the Trump campaign. Vice President Kamala Harris also visiting North Carolina later today after she rallies in Atlanta, Georgia. Execution in South Carolina. Richard Moore put to death Friday night by lethal injection for the 1999 shooting of a convenience store clerk. A federal jury convicting former Louisville detective Brett Hankison of using excessive force in the botched 2020 raid that killed Breonna Taylor in her home. He faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. The union representing striking Boeing factory workers in the Pacific Northwest says members will vote on the latest contract offer on Monday. It includes wage increases of 38% over 4 years. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Badgers take on Iowa. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, it's Wisconsin against the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight at Kinnick Stadium. Both teams 5-3. Kickoff a little after 6:30. NBA, the Bucks are at home against the Cavaliers tonight, trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Damian Lillard says when he was with the Trailblazers, he'd just take over games. How hard is that now?
It's hard because, I mean, my entire career, I've always been somebody who, if I can do one thing, I can take over. You know, I think I've joined a new team and the situation is different. I understand it is different, so I have to try to, you know, find a way to not just go back to what I've always done because it's probably not always necessary. So I think that's probably the most difficult part is, like, when things seem like it's getting out of control or the going is getting tough, you know, I'm able to put my hands on it a little bit more. And I think just not being in that role is, you know, it's a little bit more difficult.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, rain after midnight, low of 42. Rain is likely for Sunday, with highs in the low 60s. Sunday night, showers and storms, temperatures around 60 degrees. For Monday, more rain and a high near 69.
Right now, 31 degrees.
This is Chad Spate for Chad's Design Build. We're proud to employ some of the best carpenters and remodeling professionals in our industry. Are you honest and hardworking? Do you love to improve people's lives by improving their homes? Chad's Design Build offers excellent compensation and benefits focused on outstanding customer service, professional design, construction management, and craftsmanship, all in a nurturing, positive workplace. Whether you're thinking about remodeling your home or considering joining our team, go to chadsdesignbuild.com to learn more.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to ask you a few questions before I get where I'm going. How would it feel if you woke up every day and you knew your bills were going to be paid on time? What would it be like if you were saving money and you knew that money was automatically going to the right savings accounts, or that you knew how much money you had left over every month to spend on the things you like to spend on? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, there is a free tool that you and anyone can use to help those things happen over time. It is called a budget. I know, your budget doesn't help you make more money, but it 100% does help you make more of your money. There are a ton of resources online to help you, including my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. The first few sessions are the hardest when you get going, but I promise it gets easier when you stick with it. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next program, is it the last gasp of democracy?
Is it the pre-election depression special on the John and Gordy Show?
Tune in.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back to the Town Hall Ball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 o'clock. We are live on location at Fox City Stadium, the home of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, just outside of Appleton, Wisconsin. A great sports venue. Speaking of sports, a great sports team in the great SEC. We're a little partial to the Big Ten here, but we'll make an exception for our next guest. He is the ultimate Tigers fan, a grad of LSU. That was the fight song for LSU. He is, they call him the Raging Cajun. He is also the host of the great podcast called Politics War Room with Al Hunt. He's a great author, of course, an all-time great political strategist, and a brand new documentary called Carville, Winning is Everything, Stupid. In theaters now and, of course, on CNN. James Carville, thank you so much for being here along with Trigvi Olsen of the Lincoln Project. So honored to have you join the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be in Wisconsin. The original Carville that came to Louisiana was actually raised in Wisconsin. It was my great grandfather.
Really?
So the connection.
Do you know whereabouts?
I think it was in the southern part of the state. He actually was born in Ireland and ended up in Wisconsin, and was apparently some affluent people took him in because he graduated from a military academy in Indiana and was in the Union Army right at the end of the war. It's doubtful he actually saw combat, and was a classic carpetbagger. He was a Republican member of the Louisiana legislature during Reconstruction. So, and that's my great-grandfather. I'm not that far removed from it, but he is a Wisconsinite. That's where he was raised.
Well, look at that little synergy there. I think that's fantastic. Look, we're going to get into politics in a minute, but I'd be remiss. Our HR director, Jacqueline, she is a Louisianan and a huge LSU fan, and she goes, wait, you're interviewing Carville today? You got to tell him hi. So hi from Jacqueline. She'd kill me if I didn't say that. Your Tigers took a little one on the chin last week, but all in all, how you feeling, James?
Well, that was disappointing. We were up 17-7, and apparently we lacked a plan for the backup quarterback. But, you know, look, it's hard to win a road game in the SEC. We got Alabama at home. We're off this weekend. We got Alabama at home. By the way, you will be glad to know that I pick against the spread on Tony Kornhauser, and I got the Packers plus three at the Lions in Detroit.
Yes.
So I'm yes. off. We're all Packers.
We got the Packers helmet. We're just outside of Green Bay. Trigby and I are going to the game on Sunday. So thank you, James. We appreciate that.
All right.
Well, go ahead.
Right now, y'all in the Bow Counties? I can't get the Bow Counties in the Wild Counties. And Wisconsin has the most difficult place names to pronounce of any state in the United States.
Right? It's the Indian names. Like,
oh, man, you get tongue-tired on Wisconsin pronunciation.
James, talk to us a little bit about, I mean, I can't imagine anybody doesn't know, but for those that might have been asleep at the switch, you were one of the main architects of former President Clinton's great success over the years. You've run other races as well, a storied political career. You're one of those guys who just gets it done. That's why I think that this name, this doc, is perfect. You know, winning is everything, stupid. Because in this game, and, you know, Trigby's worked for guys like McCain and other people. Talk about a little bit how you see this race shaping up in the Midwest, the blue wall, particularly where we're at in Wisconsin.
Well, I think if one goes to just kind of polling, it all comes back 47.5 to 47.5. I do think we're discounting a lot. I think coming down, and by the way, Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, who won the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, probably the best state party in the United States. I think she has tremendous organizational advantages, surrogate advantages. Trump keeps just blowing himself up by saying that the most ridiculous, the firing squad to shoot Liz Cheney. And then he says he's going to use the military to arrest his political opponents. And I think that I'm very confident that people are going to reject this. I really am. And I've said pretty publicly, I think she's going to do fine on Election Day. And I think she's going to carry Wisconsin. I honestly do. I just think this is just so. Go ahead.
No, I think you're spot on. I mean, I think there's a little bit of this. And I read your piece that you put out on why you thought Harris is going to win. I keep coming back to Winston Churchill. You can always count on the American people to do the right thing after they explored every other option. Kind of feel like that's where we're at, right?
But
the other thing I wanted to tell you is, you know, I started cutting my teeth in politics in the late 80s. And in 93 or 94, Yoon Bogala put out a book, Shut Up, Buck Up, Shut Up, and Don't Come Back Until You Screw Up. Right. And that I have recommended and given that to so many kids on the Republican side that I have mentored over the years, because I think it's the best book for somebody who's interested in coming up in politics. It's just fantastic. And I bet you don't get that a lot, but that book really shaped how I think about politics, James.
Tom Peters, who's a great business consultant, I think Tom is pretty old now, he said I would send this book to all of my corporate clients before any other book, which is a pretty flattering thing for the most famous business consultant of his time to say. But I thank you for mentioning that, because I do think there was a lot of lessons and a lot of wisdom in that book. And I appreciate the fact that you remember it.
And I will tell you, the look on some of, I got sent down by McConnell at one point to work on the Rand Paul situation. The look on some of those kids' faces in Rand Paul world when I gave them your book was something to behold. That was in a different lifetime, though. I'm glad we're in a coalition now, James.
Right. Yeah. And that's another reason I think she's going. Our coalition goes all the way from Dick Cheney to AOC. If you can't find a place in between there, I don't know what to say about you. And I think it's going to hold together. It will hold together after the election, but winning is the whole name of the game. And then you figure out what happened.
One of the things that you pointed out, and your rival in Democratic politics and buddy, Joe Trippi, and I were talking about this, actually, because I told him I'm coming on the show, and he said I should ask you. You talked about, we at the Lincoln Project identified Dobbs dads, who are conservative Republicans who don't like government telling them what kind of shotgun they should own. And they certainly don't like, and I'm in this category, I don't want some theocrat telling my daughter what they can and can't do, because it's antithetical to conservatism as I understand it. You've highlighted them too. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. So what a political consultant does, Joe Trippi, is a fine one. What we look for is elasticity in a demographic. So every year brings its fashionable demographic. You remember NASCAR dads? Soccer moms, national security moms, women of color. I still think the demographic with the most upside for Harris are college-educated white males. Okay, please don't faint, NPR. Just take some smelling salts, relax, take a deep breath, and I'll give you my reasoning. Is the faculty of the Humanities Department at University of Wisconsin, Madison falls out in the hall. That's how I would actually say this. I think two reasons. Number one is college white males are more pro-choice than other males. Frankly, we have something in common. We have mothers. Most of us have sisters. Some of us have wives. Some of us have daughters. Some of us have all of that. And we're not crazy about our mother, our wives, our daughters dying in emergency rooms for lack of care. And the other thing is, when Trump tells us you have nothing to lose in this economy, most white males with a college degree, actually, I do have a 401k. I looked at it a couple of weeks ago, and it's not doing that bad. I have a one-third equity in my house, and I got something to lose out there. By the way, you start hanging tariffs on everything, the state that probably would lose the most is Wisconsin. Why do I say that? Agriculture is such a huge part of the Wisconsin economy. That's all on the world market. Okay? Don't they make Harleys in Milwaukee? At least I know they used to. They got to sell those Harleys. They can't make it by selling Harleys in the United States. They got to sell them all around the world. And they start slapping tariffs, then guess what's going to happen? They're going to slap tariffs back on you. Or think of plumbing supplies, which is a huge industry in Wisconsin. All right, they're going to put a tariff on all that. Wisconsinites have maybe more to lose from tariffs than just about any other state that I can think of. And I know I'm missing a thousand other things in the Wisconsin economy, for which I profoundly apologize for. These are just some industries that strike me as being prominent in the Wisconsin economy that would be devastated by Trump's economic plan.
Yeah. We're talking to James Carville. He is the host, along with Al Hunt, of Politics War Room. Also has a great new documentary out in theaters and on CNN. Carville, Winning Is Everything Stupid. James, your former boss, former President Clinton, is in Wisconsin, not too far from us today, here campaigning for Vice President Harris and Tim Walz. You were one of the architects of that race of former President Clinton. Part of the reason you guys won, I think, is because you connected, and President Clinton was one of those generational types of people to connect, but I think you were a lot of behind the scenes. You know how to connect to rural voters. And Trigvy and I have talked about that on this program, not just Vice President Harris, being able to connect, but also her vice presidential pick, Tim Walz. Here's a guy that's pheasant hunts that can talk about, a shotgun, and he actually does it. It's not just, saying something. Talk about rural voters and that connection in Wisconsin and other key states.
So there's a great academic at University of Wisconsin-Madison named Kathy Kramer. And she wrote a book just about rural Wisconsinites, rural people everywhere. And I think that there was good reason that they felt kind of left out of the Democratic Party for a while. I think everybody became enamored with urbanism, and everybody became enamored with coastal, highly educated people. And I'm a child of agrarian and rural America, so I speak with some background here. And I think our language became very exclusionary and very coded. And I think people heard that. And I think people in rural Wisconsin heard that. And I think that, first of all, in this campaign, Vice President Harris uses none of that goofy coded language. I think her pick of Governor Walz to be a running mate was a clear signal to rural Wisconsinites. You know, people that actually like football and actually like hunting and actually like to have a cold beer and maybe a slab of cheese as they're watching their football game. Can't imagine anybody in Wisconsin would do that. And I think that we made mistakes because we started listening to these public radio fools. And now I think we understand that. And I hopefully we begin the road back and better connect with folks in rural America, particularly rural Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, it's interesting to me. I think one of the problems the pollsters have been having, and we've seen this in data work that I do, is the coalition is changing, you know, and you hit on it about the dads. We did a bunch of research. I think you're a girl dad too. You know, we asked, what's the role that girl dads view as the most important they play in daughters' lives? And this isn't true of mothers with daughters or sons. It isn't true with dads with sons. But the number one role they want to play is protector. And the number one value they want to impart on their daughters is integrity. And that's true regardless of the age of the daughter. And and part of what we have to figure out how to do as this coalition changes is how do we get daughters to have conversations in constructive ways with their dads about the cognitive dissonance between what they're espousing politically and backing Trump and what they're standing for. Like that is the key to this in the long term. Because we have a white dude problem.
Let me explain to you just how perceptive that your question or your observation is. The most consequential relationship in human biology, and by the way, there's mounds of research on this. It's not even in dispute, is father-daughter. A daughter's opinion of herself is more determined by the relationship with a father than a son's opinion of himself is relationship with mother or dad or mother-daughter. That is the most consequential relationship there is. And you touched on it. You might not have known that there is a mountain of research to back this up. And we talk about, you know, as much as protecting our daughters, we want to inspire them. We want them to feel very confident. We want them to feel, you know, very good about their intellect. We want them to feel very good about their bodies, about their appearance. And, you know, and part of protecting our daughters is they might have a difficult pregnancy at one time. That's
James, sorry to interrupt. Can you stick around for five more minutes or you got to run?
Okay, I'll stick around. I'm enjoying it. Good.
All right, very good. More with James Carville on the other side. Football, politics, don't go anywhere. James Carville on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico, you're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content
content produced by Civic Media.
Powerball show, the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here live on location at Neuroscience Group Field at Fox City Stadium, the home of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers baseball team, a affiliate of Milwaukee Brewers baseball team. That was, of course, on Wisconsin. And we're talking to an SEC fan, specifically the LSU Tigers. He is the great James Carville, joining us live via StreamYard. We appreciate him sticking around. Great new documentary. You can see it in theaters and on CNN called Carville, Winning is Everything, Stupid, in theaters now on CNN. Also hosts a great podcast as well called Politics War Room with James Carville and Al Hunt, wherever you get your podcasts. A great author, great political strategist, along with Trygve Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We welcome you back. James, didn't mean to cut you off. No. I was up against a hard time there going against the clock. But anything else you wanted to finish up on your thoughts? Trygve brought this up about the relationship between dads and their daughters and what this means politically in this race 4 days from now.
Well, I do, and I think we talked about some necessary things that we need to talk about, and that was the thought of disengagement of rural America and the Democratic Party and how it has to be brought back together. Wisconsin is the swingiest of the swing states. Mm-hmm. But I feel pretty good about where Paris is in Wisconsin. I think she's going to be fine. I have a lot of confidence in our state party. We got some tremendous organizational skilled people there. And Wisconsin, like I said, where our great grandfather was raised. And, I'll tell you a little fun sports fact. Is my dad was a college boxer at LSU. And college boxing, the University of Wisconsin was like the Notre Dame college boxing.
Yeah.
They were the powerhouse of powerhouses. Mm-hmm. And this is a big sport, like the 30s and 40s, maybe even a bit into the early
50s. Granddad was a boxer.
Yeah, and he talked about going on a train to Madison, and it was a winter sport. He just couldn't believe how cold it was in Madison, Wisconsin in February. Pretty cold.
It ain't Louisiana.
Yeah, when the wind starts blowing across the lakes and the isthmus, it's cold. Yeah. Well, hey, I have one question for you, because I know you have done a lot of Pennsylvania stuff. I've never really done Pennsylvania stuff. How do you feel about Pennsylvania? Because I know we get asked on the show, not just about Wisconsin, which people feel good about, but everybody wants to know about Pennsylvania.
I think that people are an elevated state of nervousness about Pennsylvania. You know what? I honestly think if there's 7 swing states, the most unlikely thing to happen is they break 4-3. Mm-hmm. If they're going to break somebody's way 5-2, 6-1, maybe even 7-0, but I don't think they're going to break 4-3. And, everything kind of lines up a little bit on election day, but it's undoubtedly very, very, very close in polling, but polling is just polling. It's not counting votes. So if I tried to watch somebody on election night, what to pay attention to, I would pay attention to Bucks County and Northampton County in Pennsylvania. Mm. And I would compare the Harris vote with the 2020 Biden vote. It probably would throw in Hanover and North Carolina. But I just look at that's what I'm going to be looking at election night. I can tell you that.
Yeah. What do you think, quickly? We're in the 8th Congressional District here. It's an open seat. Dr. Lyerly, an OBGYN on the Dem side, is running against this guy we call Weird Weed, Tony Weed, who actually put Trump's name ahead of his on his field signs that said Trump endorsed Tony Weed. And then on the other side of the state, the western side, the 3rd District, we got Derek Van Orten, the SEAL who was at January 6th running against Rebecca Cook. How do you think down ballot, James, in the House in the Senate, how do you see things going?
So I'll just make one overall point. The Democrats have not lost an election in over 2 years. Now, we might start losing, but I think that Brother Weed, I endorse his last name more than I endorse his whole name. I think almost OBGYN is almost a perfect Democratic candidate. in this environment. But
she's a hunter, and she's a hunter, James, too.
A hunting OBGYN. That's
it. Yes. That's from a Republican family.
And she likes brock and cheese and brews. Right. Okay. You
know, right. And the Green Bay Packers.
And the Packers and the Bucks and the Brewers and whatever else you got. Yeah, I would bet on the conductor.
All right, sounds good. Got two more minutes left here before I gotta let you go. Let's talk a little football. How do you feel about your LSU Tigers and the SEC? I mean, it really comes down to the Big Two now, right? SEC versus Big Ten. How do you see things shaking out in college football?
I think in college football, things are going to shake up. I think there's going to be 24, maybe 28 teams, and then there's going to be everybody else. The good news for us is University of Wisconsin and LSU would be among the 24 to 28 under any scenario that this is done. But I don't think the future for the Northwesterns, the Purdue's, the Vanderbilt's, the Mississippi States is honestly that bright. And I think we've seen tremendous consolidation. And I just think that the amount of money that there is and that is brought to the table, we're going to have a kind of two-tier system here at college football. It's just not going to be able to maintain.
Well, and you look at college basketball right now. You had one of our native sons, Tony Bennett, suddenly retire there at Virginia. I mean, this pressure now, the NIL, the transfer portal. Don't we have to get some kind of control over this, James? Or it's going to get out of control? Already is.
Well, I mean, you know what people would say when you had people that were doing this, and the universities were making all the money, and these guys couldn't sell their jerseys. Was also an unfair system, if you will. I mean, we didn't have a great thing that we came from. And, you know, Tony Bennett's one of the great – the thing about basketball more than any other sport
20 seconds.
Is one guy can make a break.
That's all we've got for you this week. If you want to hear more of what makes Wisconsin great, head on over to civicmedia.us or anywhere you get your podcasts and look up The Todd Allbaugh Show. Anyway, as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week.
A new choice.
Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Just 3 days until Election Day, over 70 million people have already voted. Turnout's already approaching half of the final number from 2020. That set a record. Rallying in Milwaukee, Wisconsin Friday night, former President Trump suggesting Kamala Harris doesn't have what it takes to go toe-to-toe with world leaders.
She will get overwhelmed, she will melt down, and millions of people will die with her stupidity.
ABC Selena Wang covering the Harris campaign.
In these final days, Vice President Harris is stressing that Donald Trump's language is becoming more extreme. And we're learning new details about Harris's plans the day before the election. Her campaign is planning to hold rallies in all seven battlegrounds, tying them together in a national live stream.
Harrison, Georgia, and North Carolina today. Trump also rallies in North Carolina. Richard Moore put to death by the state of South Carolina Friday night for the 1999 shooting of a convenience store clerk. Daylight saving time ends tonight. Set your clocks back an hour before you hit the sack. This is ABC News. With just days until the election and an increase in foreign efforts to sow distrust in the country's voting system, officials are reassuring Americans that their ballots remain safe. ABC Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
The nation's top Homeland Security election official says America's voting system is completely secure and will be accurate.
For the people that would say prove it, give me some specifics of why you're so confident.
The voting machines that Americans use to cast their ballot are not connected to the internet. So great source of protection there. Very hard to hack something that is completely offline.
Roughly 97% of Americans will have their vote recorded on paper ballot, meaning they can be counted and recounted if necessary.
A federal judge refusing to drop bribery charges against New York Mayor Eric Adams, setting his next trial date for April 21st. Adams facing a 5-count indictment alleging he accepted years of luxury travel gifts in exchange for helping the Turkish consulate in Manhattan. He's pleaded not guilty. Dave Packer, ABC.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell.